Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Mark.
How you guys doing?
We're all kind of like, okay. That was our kind of reaction to the Kevin Stefanski hire. What was yours?
Yeah, I think initially I felt the same. It's changed a little bit over the past 24 hours because, you know, I was in the camp where I thought that it would be an interesting move and potentially the right one to have Josh McDaniels come in with the experience that he has and, you know, having been under Belichick's purview for so long, to come in to listen to his ideas and maybe just allow him to run the organization as he sees fit and raise it from top to bottom based on the endless transitions in Cleveland. But I will say about Kevin Stefanski, having talked to a few people that that know him, that have worked with him, very encouraging. It's seen widely as a thoroughly intelligent, football smart guy who is very adaptable, and especially, you know, one example, Gary Kubiak talked about when Stefanski took over as offensive coordinator, he was working with four or five coaches that used a completely different language than he did. And instead of, you know, making them shift over to what he does, he learned their language. Just one example of the fact that he's a quick learner. If the Browns hadn't gone through a billion iterations of doing this, and this were a fresh hire, I would be encouraged about the comparisons that people make about Kevin Stefanski as someone closer to a much closer to a Kyle Shanahan than a Freddie Kitchens. And I reject the notion that it's simply hiring Freddie Kitchens all over again based on what I'm hearing.
All right, so what does he bring to the table? Give me all the good reasons why Browns fans should be pumped about this.
Well, I think part of it is what's frustrating Browns fans is that he is open to the analytics side, and that's certainly what triggered the hire, where I think Josh McDaniels probably would have looked at the whole structure in Cleveland and wanted just to start over. And I think Stefanski's someone that's going to come in and work with, obviously, Paul D. Podesta on a very deep level. And so you can look at that as a positive or a negative. I honestly do think that Cleveland's process this time around was a little bit different than in times past. And I think they found a coach that they feel like they can align with the front office, with the analytics, push going forward, which may be a little bit too heavy-handed. That would be my concern. But also work with ownership. And, you know, that's at this point, there's no reason for fans to look at any of this and say, you know, what's different, what's new. But I do think that Stefanski also runs a system that is pro Baker Mayfield in terms of pro Nick Chubb for being an outside zone scheme. It's stuff that with the personnel that the Browns have in place, kind of somewhat similar to the Vikings. And you could argue even a touch above the Vikings at every position. I would put Chubb right there with Dalvin Cook and the wide receivers, and certainly Baker Mayfield. I would take over Kirk Cousins in terms of, you know, the longevity there. And so I think this is someone that's an adaptable play caller who has a lot of more experience than I think people would realize, just based on, you know, his father being in pro sports too, and having him been around a number of different programs and schemes. The Freddie Kitchens what I heard about Freddie Kitchens over the year from people that knew him was overwhelmingly downtrodden and negative, and it concerned me in October and November. But with Stefanski, I just really only heard positive things.
Well, that's good, and some of those attributes are terrific. Did you see enough success from Minnesota to make you think, okay, this is wonderful, or do you think they're looking deeper than that? Because the numbers are comparable to what the Browns put up offensively this year.
I think they're looking deeper because, you know, if you look at the course of certain coordinators, ups and downs, even if, you know, Josh McDaniels is an outlier because he's worked in a system with Tom Brady, a quarterback, and in an organization that's just completely different than any other in sports, other than perhaps, you know, the Baltimore Ravens are sort of getting there. I put them in that echelon. But if you look at what happened with Josh McDaniels when he went to the St. Louis Rams and he had nothing at quarterback and all sorts of issues, that offensive, those offensive numbers plummeted. So I think it's more about the person, their ability to relate to players, their adaptability, their football smarts. And Stefanski checks all those boxes. I hear over and over, just extremely intelligent. And I think that the one area, and I know Paul DePodesta is on people's radars right now in all the wrong ways, people listening to this, but the fact that he recommended Sean McDermott says a lot to me. I think Sean McDermott is someone that just didn't look like a head football coach to people, didn't necessarily have that kind of aura, but he's done an incredible job, I think, in Buffalo. And had the Browns hired Sean McDermott when DePodesta suggested it a few years ago, and had the organization not gotten in the way as it normally does, I think the Browns would be in a much different place today.
Yeah, I said that earlier in the show today. Like, I wonder if you could go back to where they were when they first brought in Barry and DePodesta and Sashi, if they would have just stayed the course. I mean, is that where you think Jimmy is right now, where he's like, man, maybe I should have just stayed the course, and you know, I had this opportunity to bring in this great football guy, and you know, we were 1-31. I had to do something. But do you think now he regrets it?
Yeah, I think this is, you know, and obviously the Haslams are in an impossible spot, and they have been for a long time, but somehow the hole that they dig keeps getting deeper. And I viewed this process, which was, you know, the opposite of kind of hiring the rah-rah fan favorite in Freddie Kitchens last year, coming off a very emotional, positive wave final stretch to the season where Freddie Kitchens just seemed like, let's keep the party going. This time around, I think this was Jimmy Haslam saying mea culpa to some degree, and let's really assess how to align the coach, the front office, and everything else. I agree with people that are concerned about what sounds like an extremely heavy-handed approach to how weekly preparation would go, where you have these lengthy meetings with ownership and the coaching staff and ownership in the front office on analytics, because you know it's the analytics thing. I think is easy to misperceive. I mean, one of the reasons I think they wanted to talk to Greg Roman beyond the great job he did in Baltimore is that Greg Roman during games sat next to Daniel Stern, their Yale-based analytics head, who essentially would sit in the booth and suggest and talk and work with Roman during games. This is not an unusual thing, and when we hear about the Ravens doing it and the Eagles doing it, you know, our perception is, well, they're forward-thinking because obviously they have success. When the narrative is coming out with Cleveland doing it, and it's totally understandable, it's they don't understand how they're digging into this too much. They're rejecting Josh McDaniels because of it, and some of that's true. I think the whole key with analytics, from what I've read, I've got like a C+ in math, so I'm not coming at you from that community, but I do think it's balanced. It's balance. It's like you can't hamstring a coaching staff or hamstring personnel with analytics and make them kind of clog up in their thinking. You still have to let them just coach and do what they do and let them use their own innate talents. But it certainly at this point in the NFL, it should be going hand in hand. And I think that they probably came out of the game day preparation with Freddie Kitchens feeling like, you know, we could see it. It was totally inadequate. They were totally unprepared in certain game situations. And I think that the stress here is a coach who understands game situations and is going to have the Browns prepared week to week. And when the game is happening, they're going to be better equipped to, you know, tackle challenging third down, fourth down scenarios, which last year was an absolute liability. I can't think of a team that handled those situations worse last year than the Browns under Kitchen.
Mark Sessler joining us from NFL.com. The Haslams have owned the team for less than 7.5 years, and this will be their 8th different coach-GM combination. What happens if Kevin Stefanski goes out next year and the Browns go 7-9 or 8-8? Do you think this organization has learned that it needs to be patient and let something grow, or are they going to have another knee-jerk reaction? And I know you don't know the answer to that, but Mark, my fingers are crossed that Stefanski can be a phenomenal coach. But you can't really find that out in a year. What if they go out next year and are flat? What do you think?
Well, I mean, I have to say I don't think they've learned that, because what suggests they have? I mean, not until next, you know, December 31st, and they are 7-9, and they decide to stick with it, will I accept that they've learned anything? And I'm willing again to start over as an observer of the team and say, maybe they got it right this time, and maybe it just took them so long to get here. And you know, but the constant with properly run teams is, you know, the opposite of knee-jerk reaction. We say it all the time, but you look at the Ravens, you look at the Steelers, you look at this point, the Eagles, and, you know, they can have an up-and-down season or two, but they don't waver from their philosophy. The Browns philosophically have tried everything, and they cannot cling to one method for more than 700 days. So you need to, with a young coach, and I understand why people would feel like Stefanski's just being put into a terrible situation, and I understand why you're trying to lure a GM in here thinking GMs don't last here for more than, you know, a season or two, and then suddenly you're cast out and your career looks different because you have a black mark on you. Well, it's an impossible landing spot to feel excited about, and it's interesting to me that they even got Stefanski to come in the building, because I think that he probably had people in his ear saying, beware, and I'm sure Josh McDaniels did too. And so at this point, they have to prove everything. They've proven nothing, and I don't have a lot of confidence that if next year was a minor disaster that they wouldn't start over all over again. Where does that faith draw from?
Well, I don't have it either, so there you go. Mark, thank you, buddy.
Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Mark Sessler joining us, NFL.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.